Good morning. Welcome to worship on this, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Can you believe it? We are fast approaching Easter. Feels like Lent has flown by, and very soon, Holy Week and Easter will be upon us. My name is Evan Worsdodge. I'm the pastor here at Belvedere United Methodist Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to extend you a special welcome. Hope that you feel the love of God in our midst as we worship today. As I share a couple announcements with you, I want to invite you to take a moment to take the black attendance pads that you will find at the end of your pew, register your attendance with us this morning, and then pass that down the pew so that we can have an accurate recording of all who are worshiping with us today. I want to highlight just a couple of announcements for you. If you would take your insert that you find in your bulletin, you'll see our Holy Week schedule. A couple of services are ecumenical. Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, we combine with the Presbyterian Church, and then the sunrise service is ecumenical with the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church. You'll see information about times and locations there in your Holy Week schedule. You'll see next week information about our Easter egg hunt, and then several other things going on in the life of our church, some United Methodist Women events, and if you turn to the inside of your bulletin, we have a baseball game coming up, a paint night, Earth Day celebration, lots of things are exciting going on here in our congregation and in our community. Well, I want to highlight one announcement and then ask Brian Schubert, who is with us this morning, to come forward and share a little bit. Starting in May, we are going to be showing in the park right across the street from us four Christian-themed movies. Brian Schubert, who's going to come up and share a little bit, heads a ministry called Outcry Outreach. Let me tell you just a little bit about Brian. Brian is very active in local mission. He works with Habitat for Humanity. He works with The Vault, which is a ministry to young people that's located in Washington. He's also a substitute teacher at Warren Hills High School. So Brian is really passionate about this ministry and passionate about getting the gospel out into the community. So Brian's going to come forward and share for just a few minutes a little bit about this ministry that we're partnering with in the month of May.
Thank you, Pastor Evan. Good morning, everybody. I'd first like to thank Christine Howard for, she's the one who communicated to me that you guys were interested in our ministry. Some of you may have heard, our first really, I should say, bigger film festival where we did, it was last September, we did the four films outside of Chick-fil-A in Phillipsburg. So if you heard anything about that, that was kind of our first major film festival where we did more than one movie in such a short amount of time. But should go back to the very beginning. I was probably 13 or 14 when I first, I was in a ministry called Royal Rangers. It's kind of like Boy Scouts, but they had a bigger focus on the Bible. And, there was this theme about, what God may have us to do when we get older and become an adult and things like that. And I always had a passion for youth ministry. In fact, I still do. Most of the ministries that I'm somehow involved with have something to do with youth. And God had given me a vision to show movies in order to kind of get teenagers to come in to the door, because a lot of teenagers and things like that were not reading the Bible, and even I, didn't read it as much as I should. I was kind of the only teenager in my church at the time, and so I would go on and I would, I had this idea to show movies, of course, but I was like 14. I had, didn't have the resources available to me at the time to be able to do that. As Pastor Evan said, I do substitute teach, and I also work for Habitat for Humanity. I have a couple different jobs, and so when I turned about, I should say 23, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I got the opportunity to lead in a youth ministry in Phillipsburg, the church I had grown up in. I partnered with a church in Hackettstown to do a youth ministry, and we did for 3 or 4 years. We were very successful, and so we would go, and every once in a while we would show a movie, and that's how we would get new people in. But And it came to be that actually our movie nights were the most popular of any of the times that people would come in. I wish I could say it was to come to hear me speak, but obviously it was not. Weren't as interested in hearing me speak. And then things really became a reality with the movie ministry when God's Not Dead was released, the original God's Not Dead film, which, if you guys haven't seen, is an incredible movie. In fact, I enjoyed it so much because when I took a philosophy class in college, which is the class that the student is taking in the movie, I was challenged to write a paper similar to that. He was asked to give a presentation. I actually had to write a paper explaining why I believe God existed. The main purpose of this ministry, and I don't want to go on too long, the main purpose of this ministry is to get people who may be afraid of witnessing to somebody or telling somebody about God to invite them to a movie, invite them to lunch, invite them, you know, to a night out where that is much less, you know, much less pressure to invite somebody to a night out than it is to kind of go up to them with the gospel. Because honestly, even though I'm standing in front of you now, I'm not one of those guys even now who just walks up to any person and starts talking to them about God. I wish I were that bold, but I'm honestly not. Like I said, it seemed like a whole bunch of ministries, now that I had started that, were really interested in it. I kind of randomly called Chick-fil-A to get that movie series set up, and to my surprise, I just called them and said, hey, I have this movie ministry we do in Phillipsburg every year, and I was just wondering if you guys would be interested in maybe having us do it in the parking lot because it's a more public location for us. And 5 minutes later, the owner of the Chick-fil-A in Phillipsburg, owner of the franchise, calls me back and says, he says, I'm very interested, but let me ask you one question. I said, what is that? And he said, well, you were asking about doing one movie. I said, yes. And he said, could you possibly do four? Four movies in 4 weeks. Now, I had done, let me give you some perspective on that. I had done maybe two a year before that. And now they wanted four in a month. And I said yes. And I was kind of thinking to myself at the time, I'm like, yes, I'll do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I can tell you that I will do it. And like I said, I don't want to go on real long, but the one scripture that really throughout the whole process of doing this that's really kind of stuck in my head, and the thing I think that we as Christians need to do, but we also need to show to the world, is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Okay, now, this is a way of us showing that we're not ashamed of the gospel, of the Bible, of the things that it says, and a way to, you know, entertain people, but to also preach the message of God. So, I get to work with a lot of different groups and teenagers through this. We've done a few movies for Habitat for Humanity, and we do movies a couple times a month at the vault, because I'm there all the time now. But, you know, if you guys have any questions, feel free to come up and ask me. Again, thanks, Christine, for putting all this together, and look forward to working with you guys. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great experience. So.
Thank you, Brian. The inside of our announcement page, you can find our social media addresses. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we also have a website that's recently been renovated. You can find the movie schedule and the times that they'll be shown on there. That will also be printed in your bulletin starting next week. There's also in your bulletin a little envelope. There is a small cost that goes along with copyright to show these films. So So if you would like to donate just a little bit to help defray that cost, that would be much appreciated. You can put that in the offering plates when our collection is taken. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Can you believe it? We are fast approaching Easter. Feels like Lent has flown by, and very soon, Holy Week and Easter will be upon us. My name is Evan Wurzdodge. I'm the pastor here at Belvedere United Methodist Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to extend you a special welcome. Hope that you feel the love of God in our midst as we worship today. As I share a couple announcements with you, I want to invite you to take a moment to take the black attendance pads that you will find at the end of your pew, register your attendance with us this morning, and then pass that down the pew so that we can have an accurate recording of all who are worshiping with us today. I want to highlight just a couple of announcements for you. If you would take your insert that you find in your bulletin, you'll see our Holy Week schedule. A couple of services are ecumenical. Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, we combined with the Presbyterian Church, and then the sunrise service is ecumenical with the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church. You'll see information about times and locations there in your Holy Week schedule. You'll see next week information about our Easter egg hunt, and then several other things going on in the life of our church, some United Methodist Women events, and if you turn to the inside of your bulletin, we have a baseball game coming up, a paint night, Earth Day celebration, lots of things are exciting going on here in our congregation and in our community. Well, I want to highlight one announcement and then ask Brian Schubert, who's with us this morning, to come forward and share a little bit. Starting in May, we are going to be showing in the park right across the street from us four Christian-themed movies. Brian Schubert, who's going to come up and share a little bit, heads a ministry called Outcry Outreach. Let me tell you just a little bit about Brian. Brian is very active in local mission. He works with Habitat for Humanity. He works with The Vault, which is a ministry to young people that's located in Washington. He's also a substitute teacher at Warren Hills High School. So Brian is really passionate about this ministry and passionate about getting the gospel out into the community. So Brian's going to come forward and share for just a few minutes a little bit about this ministry that we're partnering with in the month of May.
Thank you, Pastor Evan. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd first like to thank Christine Howard for, she's the one who communicated to me that you guys were interested in our ministry. Some of you may have heard, we, our first really, I should say, bigger film festival where we did, it was last September, we did the four films outside of Chick-fil-A in Phillipsburg. So if you heard anything about that, that was kind of our first major film festival where we did more than one movie in, you know, in such a short amount of time. But when, I should go back to the very beginning, I was probably 13 or 14 when I first, I was in a ministry called Royal Rangers. It's kind of like Boy Scouts, but they had a bigger focus on the Bible. And, you know, there was this theme about, you know, what God may have us to do when we get older and become an adult and things like that. And I always had a passion for youth ministry. In fact, I still do. Most of the ministries that I'm somehow involved with have something to do with youth. And God had given me a vision to show movies in order to kind of get teenagers to come in to the door, because a lot of teenagers and things like that were not reading the Bible, and even I, you know, didn't read it as much as I should. I was kind of the only teenager in my church at the time, and so I would go on and I would, I had this idea to show movies, of course, but I was like 14. I had, you know, didn't have the resources available to me at the time to be able to do that. I, as Pastor Evan said, I do substitute teach, and I have a, I also work for Habitat for Humanity. I have a bunch of, a couple different jobs, and so when I turned about, I should say 23, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I got the opportunity to lead in a youth ministry in Phillipsburg, the church I had grown up in. I partnered with a church in Hackettstown to do a youth ministry, and we did for 3 or 4 years. We were very successful, and so we would go, and every once in a while we would show a movie, and that's how we would get new people in. But and it came to be that actually our movie nights were the most popular of any of the times that people would come in. I wish I could say it was to come to hear me speak, but obviously it was not. Weren't as interested in hearing me speak. And then things really became a reality with the movie ministry when God's Not Dead was released, the original God's Not Dead film, which, if you guys haven't seen, is an incredible movie. In fact, I enjoyed it so much because when I took a philosophy class in college, which is the class that the student is taking in the movie, I was challenged to write a paper similar to that. He was asked to give a presentation. I actually had to write a paper explaining why I believe God existed. The main purpose of this ministry, and I don't want to go on too long, the main purpose of this ministry is to get people who may be afraid of witnessing to somebody or telling somebody about God to invite them to a movie, invite them to lunch, invite them, you know, to a night out where that is much less, you know, much less pressure to invite somebody to a night out than it is to kind of go up to them with the gospel. Because honestly, even though I'm standing in front of you now, I'm not one of those guys even now who just walks up to any person and starts talking to them about God. I, you know, I wish I were that bold, but I'm honestly not. Like I said, it seemed like a whole bunch of ministries, now that I had started that, were really interested in it. I kind of randomly called Chick-fil-A to get that movie series set up. And to my surprise, I just called them and said, hey, I have this movie ministry we do in Phillipsburg every year, and I was just wondering if you guys would be interested in maybe having us do it in the parking lot because it's a more public location for us. And 5 minutes later, the owner of the Chick-fil-A in Phillipsburg, owner of the franchise, calls me back and says, he says, I'm very interested, but let me ask you one question. I said, what is that? And he said, well, you were asking about doing one movie. I said, yes. And he said, could you possibly do four? Four movies in 4 weeks. Now, I had done, let me give you some perspective on that. I had done maybe two a year before that. And now they wanted four in a month. And I said yes. And I was kind of thinking to myself at the time, I'm like, yes, I'll do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I can tell you that I will do it. And like I said, I don't want to go on real long, but the one scripture that really throughout the whole process of doing this that's really kind of stuck in my head, and the thing I think we as Christians need to do, but we also need to show to the world, is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Okay, now, this is a way of us showing that we're not ashamed of the gospel, of the Bible, of the things that it says, and a way to, you know, entertain people, but to also preach the message of God. So, I get to work with a lot of different groups and teenagers through this. We've done a few movies for Habitat for Humanity, and we do movies a couple times a month at the vault because I'm there all the time now. But, you know, if you guys have any questions, feel free to come up and ask me. I again, thanks, Christine, for putting all this together, and look forward to working with you guys. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great experience. So.
Thank you, Brian. The inside of our announcement page, you can find our social media addresses. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we also have a website that's recently been renovated. You can find the movie schedule in the times that they'll be shown on there. That will also be printed in your bulletin starting next week. There's also in your bulletin a little envelope. There is a small cost that goes along with copyright to show these films. So if you would like to donate just a little bit to help defray that cost, that would be much appreciated. You can put that in the offering plates when our collection is taken. You may be seated. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and loving God, send your Holy Spirit among us. Kindle within each one of us the fire of your holy love. May all that we say and all that we do give you honor and glory, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have a confession to make before you this morning. I am not a very patient person. We know. I don't want to ask who said that, but I think it was John Whitmore. He's the man in the back in the side over there with the... I won't describe you. And you'd think that that would be a lesson that I would have learned fairly quickly, or at least over the last couple of years, 3 years, with twins who are about to turn three. But if I'm honest with you, I've found it sort of to be the opposite. I find myself getting more and more exasperated and running out of patience as the day goes on. And so I have tried to cultivate what the Apostle Paul said, to pray without ceasing, praying for patience. But I do admit that that is something that I am trying to work on, but it is something that doesn't come easily to me. Who here are people for whom patience is an easy virtue? Look around. There are like 6 or 7 people out of how many folks here for whom patience is. So I'm going to take it that most of you perhaps struggle with being patient. Is that a fair assessment? Okay, you're honest with me. When you heard me read the gospel lesson this morning, for those of you who were listening, don't you love the honesty of our little kids? Were you listening? No. Those of you who were listening to the gospel lesson this morning, I've told you when we started preaching these several long texts from John, these are some of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, because there's so much happening in them, and so much that frankly is odd and just kind of bizarre. When you heard John 11 read, the raising of Lazarus, was there anything that struck you as sort of odd or bizarre? The whole thing? What? Right, okay, so can you imagine the picture of Lazarus coming out of the tomb with linen cloth and stuff just kind of draped over him, kind of half unbound? Right, what a sight. Anybody else?
That Jesus waited for Lazarus to die.
That Jesus waited. Chris, what were you going to say?
That
Jesus cried, right? This is one of the texts where we see Jesus' humanity really come through in a clear way. But Steve was kind of going where I was going with this. When I read the gospel early this week, I was struck by those verses. Now listen to this carefully. Jesus hears the news that Lazarus is quite ill. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now word has just come to Jesus, somebody needs some divine emergency medical assistance. And Jesus stays where he is for 2 more days. Isn't that odd? If you loved someone that deeply as Jesus loved Lazarus, Wouldn't you drop whatever you were doing, wherever you were, and go to them as quickly as you could? But Jesus hears that he's sick, stays for two more days. Can you imagine how his disciples were feeling? Well, after 2 days, Jesus decides to go back. Now, if you go back to the end of John chapter 10, we see that Jesus' teaching has upset some of the Jewish religious authorities to such an extent that they want to stone him. And that's in the area of Judea. And to go back to where Lazarus was, Jesus would have to enter that territory again. So you see why his disciples, when they decide to go, they say, "Let us go that we may die with him." They're expecting that if Jesus goes back into that hostile territory, it'll be the end of Jesus. So Jesus goes back. And can you imagine how Mary and Martha were feeling? I wonder what their patience level, I wonder if we were to read that, where their patience would be with Jesus in the midst of all of this. And they both, did you catch that when I read the gospel? They both say the exact same thing. If you had only been here, Lazarus would not have died. If you had only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And then Martha makes Martha and Peter in the Gospels make those bold statements about who Jesus is. Yes, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Affirming their faith in what Jesus can do and who he was. You see the tension that's held together in this scripture with those sisters who loved Jesus and Lazarus so much, frustrated, as I imagine they were, running out of patience, but at the same time holding in tension with those feelings this unwavering belief that even though Jesus had taken his darn good time to get there, there was still something that Jesus could do. 4 days now, by the time Jesus gets to Lazarus, that he's been dead. Both Mary and Martha express their their exasperation, but at the same time affirm their trust. To me, that's a healthy place to be. To express how we feel, to let frustration and sadness and anger come up, to name it, but at the same time to hold within that firm trust that Jesus can do what he said he could do, that Jesus could do for them what they no likely have witnessed Jesus doing for others. I don't know about you, but I would have run out of patience by now. Jesus came into town. I probably would have. Now, any guys like this, when I run out of patience sometimes, or you listen, my wife's not here so I can tell stories about her. When I run out of patience, sometimes I just get quiet. And I can just kind of stew on that. Any other guys like that when you run out of patience? Or guys or women, anybody like that? You just kind of stew on it? I would imagine that's probably maybe how I would have reacted when Jesus came to town. 4 days after, I probably would have been quiet and just stewing in it. You know, that's what I do when I reach the end of my short measure of patience. So Jesus comes and he says, Jesus is moved with compassion. Now, our translation kind of makes it sound a little bit nicer in a sense than it really is. If you go to the original language, we see that Jesus actually, he has that gut feeling of just being moved in his gut, that feeling, all the feelings of those people around him, just gut-wrenching. We see that Jesus weeps. They go to the tomb. Jesus calls for him to come out. Now, if any of you were raised in churches that had an affinity for the King James Version, and you know this scripture in the King James, I love what they say to Jesus when Jesus calls for Lazarus to come out. They say, "Lord, he stinketh." "Lord, he stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. He stinketh." Despite all that, Jesus calls for him to come out. And there he is. There he is. It says that those who were around this witnessing what Jesus had done came to faith, came to believe because of what they'd seen. But I just still can't get this out of my mind. As wonderful as the story is, and it all is well that ends well, right? In a sense, maybe that's true. Jesus waits 2 days. Now, the author of John, like any omniscient narrator, kind of gives us some insights into why Jesus is doing what he's doing. So yes, there's to display the glory and the power of God. It's to bring people to belief. But let's just take it at a human level for a minute. Jesus waits 2 days. 2 days that people are mourning who could have been comforted. 2 days that Mary and Martha are no doubt beside themselves with frustration, wondering, where's Jesus? We called for him days ago. Jesus waits. I've been reminded through events in my own life recently that God operates on a timetable much different than ours. God's clock, the way that God tells time, the way that God works and moves in this world is often so different than what I want in the moment that I want it. And perhaps you've had moments in your life where you can look back at a moment like that, maybe where God stalled, where God waited a couple of days, where something you prayed for wasn't answered immediately, and then looking back, there was some wisdom in that. You can see why it wasn't answered immediately. And in fact, something good came out of the delayed movement of God. I'm reminded of Moses going down into Egypt to announce to Pharaoh, time to let my people go. It had only been 400 years. 400 years. About time, God, right? And after they wander, after they leave Egypt and go into the wilderness, they only wander around for 40 years, and only 2 of them make it actually to the promised land. God operates on a timetable that's not ours. And so often I think that we want a Jesus who will fix it on our time, in our moment, at our request, on our timetable, instead of opening up ourselves to the majesty of God, to the wonder of it all, holding in tension our feelings and our faith, trusting just like those sisters did, that even in the midst of grief and questions and not knowing and anger and frustration, that I still believe. They still make their declaration of faith. You are the Messiah. Maybe some of you are in a place today where you're struggling with something. Maybe it's physical. Maybe you've had a physical issue, or someone you love has been struggling with something. You've been praying for healing, praying for relief, praying for God to do something for years and years and years. Nothing's happened. Maybe it's a spiritual issue. Maybe it's an emotional issue. Maybe it's a relationship that you would love to see mended and restored, but it just hasn't happened yet. I believe that all of us could name something in our lives that perhaps we've been praying about for a long time. And what we think would be healing and restoration and a fix to that particular issue hasn't arrived yet. When I look at this scripture, I see 2 things for those of us who might be in that situation. I see, first of all, that how important it is to open ourselves up to God's time and not our time. To let God be God. To be open to the working of God, whether it's immediate, whether it's 6 months down the road, whether it's 5 years down the road. But to continue to be persistent in prayer, because prayer changes the one who prays. When we wait on God, we find in that time, in that moment, that we ourselves are growing and learning and changing as individuals, which often might give us new insight or new perspective on a particular problem. The second thing that I see when I come to this scripture is that even in the midst of our pain, suffering, loss. Even in the midst of that, even when we're crying out and we don't hear anything, to hold in tension the two things that those sisters so beautifully hold in tension as models and witnesses for us. Frustration. Lord, if you'd just been here. But also faith. But you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Friends, this is my prayer for each one of us. That wherever you find yourselves in this moment, let it be to bring all that you are, all that you feel, all that you have into the presence of God. Ask for God to lead you. Ask for God to help you not be enslaved to your own timetable, but to ask for God to reveal himself in ways that are higher than our ways, in wisdom that is beyond our wisdom. That's my prayer for you. Amen. Sisters and brothers, receive this benediction. Go forth in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And all God's people said,